Thank you for taking the time to listen to this message from Stonebridge United Methodist Church. We hope you find it has meaning and relevance for your life. And now may you be blessed as you hear the reading of God's Word.
The Bridge presents Real Men of Jesus.
Real Men of Jesus.
Today we salute you, Mr. Church-skipping NFL pregame watcher.
Mr. Church-skipping NFL pregame watcher.
While your family attends church, you sit in heaven. A couch, potato chips, and 3 hours of watching other people talk.
I finally got the remote control.
You pride yourself on your knowledge of the cover two defense, hoping one day it will score with the ladies, bring you a raise, or help your fantasy team win the big game.
I should be an NFL coach.
Why go to church when you know there is no better news than Brett Favre is still retired?
His first coach was Moses.
So crack open a cold one, oh Pope of the pregame, because even though you don't actually play the game, to us you'll always be world class.
Mr. Church skipping NFL pregame watcher.
I don't understand. I mean, we've got the sexy music. What could be more sexy than a pastor on Sunday morning? Now, I have to thank these guys for doing this and embarrassing themselves. And out of this, yeah, give them a round of applause. Yeah, they killed the music, because let's face it. As the cyclists came out, there are people who are just salivating over getting out on the open road right now. They don't want to be sitting here right now. People brought out the golf clubs and... there are just guys across the room who are already booking their tea times online through their Blackberries. As you go out there, you see fishing, you see all these kind of things, you see reading the Sunday morning paper. And to be honest with you, out of this came one of the best stories I've ever heard in terms of worship, and that we were planning all this out, and we were sitting around and said, we need somebody who's just lazy on Sunday morning, who has a bathrobe on, who's reading the paper, who's drinking coffee, and just decides he doesn't want to get up and move this morning. And so I was trying to cycle through, okay, the Sunday school classes I had walked by, who do I know was not there? And so I called Jerry Robertson up and said, hey man, have you come to church already? Because it was almost Sunday school time. And he said, no, I haven't even taken a shower yet. And didn't even figure it out. I said, that'll be perfect, because I want you to do this thing which you're just in a bathrobe on Sunday morning reading the paper. And so he gets here, and I meet him right before worship to explain, because we'd already explained to everybody else, explained what we're doing. And he says, you have no idea how perfect this was, because I was still in bed watching the History Channel. I was skipping church this morning. So so God works in mysterious ways. But, I mean, let's face it, between NFL pregame, between fishing, between hunting, there's a lot of things that guys would rather do on Sunday morning. There's a lot of things that are more sexy than church. Unless you become a real man of Jesus. See, the real man of Jesus has jumped on board. They know kind of the value of all this thing. They know the value of what it means to come and praise and lift yourself in worship of God. They know the value of instruction, of small groups. They know all those value. But if you're not necessarily on the real men of Jesus track yet, then worship sometimes can seem cumbersome. It seems sometimes as an obligation. It seems something other than keeping the Sabbath holy. Now, the greatest line about keeping the Sabbath holy that I've ever heard was in a young adult group that I had in Kansas. We had a bunch of guys who were sitting around, and a bunch of women as well who were sitting around, and we started talking about the Ten Commandments, and we were talking about, thou shalt not murder, thou shalt not steal, and everyone was like, yeah, and so, okay, let's go to the hard ones. He said, how many times, and we're meeting on a Sunday, and my Sunday schedule, I pretty much got to church at 8, I got to go home from noon to like 2, and then I went back at 2 all the way until about 9, because I was doing like 3 different ministry areas on Sunday, and that was when people could meet. And so we talked about, well, are we really keeping the Sabbath holy? And we started talking about the importance of worship and all that. And this guy who was just a massive hunter talked about how he loved to skip church and go hunting. And his argument was is that while he's hunting, he's making a lot more things holy than he is while sitting here. But other men would comment that they sit in an office all day. They sit doing numbers. They crunch paper. They push pencils all day. And they just sit there and listen to their boss tell them what to do all the time. And they don't want to come sit and listen to some other person tell them what to do. They don't want to sit and listen to people sing. They don't want to just sit there. They want to be active. They want to be doing something. And so, again, it's more of an obligation to come to worship as when you don't understand what a real man of Jesus is. And ironically, around the nation, the number one activity that people skip worship for on Sunday mornings is the NFL pregame show. They got to get ready. They got to put the grill, prep it all up. They got to get the cakes ready. They got to get whatever ready for the NFL game that's happening, because they're having the friends over, they're having the buddies, they want to relax. I mean, that's their time that they get to relax during the week because of their busy schedules. And I always thought this was kind of interesting, because I get into NFL. I listen to sports talk radio all the time. Super Bowl has 7 hours of pregame show. I could probably watch all 7 hours if I didn't have anything better to do and enjoy myself. But dissect this. They're complaining about coming and sitting and listening to someone talk. So instead, they sit and listen to four people talk. They complain about not getting to participate in worship, and or maybe choose not to participate in worship, and they still sit and don't really participate in anything that's talking and they're talking about on the screen. So why is worship not attractive for guys especially? Why is even coming to church not attractive to guys specifically? You know, the guys who are here, the women who are here, this may be something to pass on necessarily. You showed up on spring break Sunday when the time changed, so I may be preaching to the choir here, but put some fuel to your fire of why you love coming here. See, most men, they don't have a problem with church necessarily, because most men who have gotten involved in a small group will preach how much they love it. They've never had that community of fellowship, and we'll talk about why that is in a little bit. Most men love playing on the softball team or the volleyball team or the flag football or whatever it is their church offers. And the majority of men, if you ask them, go build a Habitat house, go down to Juarez and build a house, go, you know, serve out in the mission field, they're signed up, they're awesome. I mean, they're just ready to go, they can use their hands. But for whatever reason, I hear more people just be absolutely okay with skipping church to go hunting or fishing or watching TV. Sometimes we just need a down day in our lives, which all that is true. Those are great things. But are they really so important that we miss our time to worship each week? See, first of all, the first reason that I would say is that most men are not group people. I happen to be one of those men who I'm an extrovert. I'm a giant extrovert. But I know I make other men uncomfortable if I start sharing too much or if I put myself out there too much. Most men don't want to express a lot of feelings. Most men don't want to be in a room where they're going to have to be vulnerable of some sort. We're independent. We're trained to be independent. Activities we rattled off. You saw cycling. You saw fishing. You saw golf. Reading the paper. We were calling people to do running, watching TV. How many of those need another person to do it? As a matter of fact, the best group for guys is either five guys on a boat fishing where they don't say a single word the entire time, and all of a sudden they're best friends, or 50,000 guys gathered in a football stadium where they don't have to think about their everyday lives, and they all bond together for the team, because the more they put out for the team, the better their team is going to do, obviously. Men are not necessarily the touchy-feely types, and a lot of women, you can go on with this too, because I'm more of a touchy-feely type than some women are, and other women are more independent than I am. So it's not true across the board, but in general, men are not the touchy-feely types that we talk about at church. Most men, and I would say that we may be born this way, but I think there's a cultural conditioning that we're supposed to be tough, that we're supposed to be isolated, we're supposed to lift ourselves up by our own bootstraps and take care of ourselves. And worship is not designed to let you be the hero. As a matter of fact, if I'm the hero, if D-Mac's the hero, if any of the band guys are the hero, if we lift ourselves up as the hero, we have not really truly worshiped. Because God is the ultimate hero in the situation. Jesus Christ is the ultimate hero in the situation. And everything we do on stage or everything you do in your seats is to glorify God. It's not an atmosphere where we come and say, hey, look at me. Look at what I can do. And everything we're taught as men is to be the white knight. We're taught to be the strong guy. When have you ever seen a blockbuster movie with a guy who just says, well, I'd rather him do it? I mean, it's just not the case for what women want out of things. Look at the difference between the NBA and the WNBA. If you're basketball fans, you watch the NBA and turn on the commercial, an NBA game, and look who's in the commercials. You see Kobe, you see LeBron, you see Dwayne Wade, you see Dirk Nowitzki, you see those superstars, right? The NBA has made a fortune off of superstars. Now, you go to the WNBA, and there are phenomenal basketball players there. They could beat a lot of the guys that they play. I mean, they're just really good. But they have a different style. They're team-oriented. They don't promote superstars. They even tried to promote superstars. You got the Sue Birds of the world, the Cheryl Swoops of the world, those players who have made their mark in the WNBA, but they can't promote them because when you watch the style of basketball, it's a team game. That's not true for all women. It's not true for all men. But in general, if you watch that, the way they market them, it's a team game in the WNBA because men like to be stars. We like to take the ball and we like to score. We like to be the hero, and we're taught to be the hero in all sorts of situations, whereas women are often taught to take a second place, which is not necessarily right. Women are taught to be supportive, to be nurturing, to uplift, whereas men are taught to be in control, to make decisions. And if we don't do that, we don't live up to that, we disappoint people. And worship is a place where we don't necessarily come in and say, hey, what do you think? We come in and we say, what does Jesus say? And a lot of men have a problem with that. They don't want to be told what to do. Now, the second thing that I think draws men away from worship is the very language we use. Worship doesn't let us sound tough, necessarily. Look at what I'm wearing. There is nothing tough about this. Yet I got this on a Honduras mission trip. It was bought in some of the roughest circumstances I've ever been in. But you look at the bright colors that we use for Pentecost and Advent and all those different seasons. And this is very traditional. We don't wear this in the bridge. But, you look at this and you don't think, what self-respecting man wears a dress with bright colors on top of that? We're asked to follow, or we're always taught to be strong and tough guys, and we're asked to submit ourselves for an hour of worship. We're asked to submit ourselves to a God who is stronger than we are, and we try and sing songs about Almighty God, everlasting God, strong God, tough God. We try and integrate those in as much as possible. But since the mid-90s, there's been a thing called the Passion Movement, and it's still integrated in. It's kind of died off a little bit, but it was the Passion Movement about, it's really the launch of what we now know as contemporary worship, kind of like what we do in the bridge. Only when it started off, it was, if you're going to worship God, commitment's not really enough. Throwing yourself in is not really enough. Mission work is not really enough. You have to fall on your knees, be diehard in love with Jesus. You need to, be so overwhelmed that you throw yourself at the feet of the man you love. Now, men, when I tell you that, do you want to throw yourself at the feet of the man you love? If you're a real man of Jesus, you probably understand what that means. But if you're a man walking through a sports game, you're a man going hunting, the last time I've ever been fishing, we did not sit there and talk about throwing ourselves at each other's feet because we loved each other so much. Listen to the words of this. This is a song we don't do in here, but it was a popular song a while back. Listen to these words. Your friendship, it is intimate. I feel I'm moving to the rhythm of your grace. Your fragrance is intoxicating in our secret place. Your love is extravagant. Do you think that was written for a man? Now, if you're a real man of Jesus, yes. The songs we sing in here, we feel God's love. And I talk about God's love. I say God's grace. But how many times do we so overwhelmingly talk about falling in love? Do we so overwhelmingly talk about a God who is a cuddly friend, lover, those different words like that, rather than me summing up here and saying, instead of ending service by saying, God loves you right where you are. God wants to comfort you. God wants to nurture you. What if I got up here and said, God wants you to take the power you have and conquer the world for Christ in love, but conquer the world in Christ, to go out and make disciples, to do something? What if we started using those languages? Do you think men might respond to that more often? See, the cool thing about Scripture is it has both. And we need to know both. Because a real man of Jesus ought to be able to express love toward their kids, toward their wife, toward their God. But you gotta meet people where they are still. And if you're going after someone who's interested in making the catch, or the kill, or the touchdown, or the business deal, you gotta be a little aggressive. Both views are needed, though. So here's the caveat. A real man of Jesus needs to be in worship. A real man of Jesus, on Sunday morning at least, or whenever the church, if you're a visitor, if you go on Saturday night, or whenever it is, that we do worship on Sunday morning. And whenever worship is scheduled, that is your intentional time of worship. That is the intentional time that you set, which to be with your God. Hopefully, you're having your prayer time. Hopefully, everything in your life revolves around the ethics of Jesus Christ, of putting that in the center of your life. But if anything, this 1 hour and hopefully 2 hours on a Sunday morning where you go to a small group as well is important. You shouldn't miss it. We did this whole 40 days Lenten worship challenge, go to worship every Sunday, and John even stood up in celebration 2 weeks ago, I think he said it in here too, last week, and said, if you're somewhere else, go get us a church bulletin and we'll mark you down as good. Because we love it here, we think this is a great church, but worship is what's important. Setting that time aside to say, there is nothing else that's more important in my life than you, and I do submit to you. I do love you, and I'm going to be charged up afterward to go and conquer the world for Jesus Christ. See, the real man of Jesus understands a few things. And the thing a real man of Jesus understands is we don't do life alone. The outdoors, I've often heard that people could say, well, I find God in nature. And it's true, worship can be outside, and it makes it more glorified. I love sunrise services on Easter, where you go out to a lake, and the sun is rising, and you get the picture of resurrection and everything. I love being outdoors. I get that thing. But it's taking it from worship outside to, well, when I sit outside with my gun looking for the deer, I feel the presence of God. When I'm concentrating on catching the fish, I feel Jesus in my midst. When the fish comes, I forget all about it, and I'm proud that I caught a 10-pounder, you know, something like that. But I feel that in my midst, and I would, you know, raise my hand and say, I've said that before. A lot of guys have said that before. We like being outdoors. We like to integrate Jesus into things that we really enjoy, and it becomes less about what we should do and more about in terms of what we want to do in that. I'm afraid that if you consider that your time with God, because all those camping outdoors, get out and do those things. Technology, computers, those can enhance your spiritual life. But if you're doing those by yourself in total isolation with your own view of God, and that's the only person you ever talk to is the fish that you just caught, one, you're crazy. And two, you're not going to get the full image of God as you would with all of these people here. Because as you might have heard, you know, a couple weeks ago with those testimonies that we did, and we have testimonies that happen, God speaks to people in different ways. And people will read the same scripture verse, and it'll speak differently according to what's going on in their life. And we get to balance those, and we get to say, what is God saying? What is the truth behind what God is saying? And if you're by yourself, like men like to be, if you're isolated, like men like to be, you are missing out on God. You'll get a small part. But God is so vast and so big and so majestic that one individual person will never be able to fully comprehend God. On the contrary, God is meant to be spent in a community. Look at the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The community makes up our one true God. Look at Jesus. If you want to talk about a real man of Jesus, look at Jesus. I mean, we always talk about, do you not think that Jesus could have come and did what he did by himself? I mean, this is God in the flesh we're talking about, who is all-powerful, all-knowing. You know, my dad did a great Sunday school lesson, I remember, when I was a kid, and said, do you don't think Jesus could have just come down and been like G.I. Joe and just wiped out all the bad people in the world and, you know, took names and made the kingdom of heaven on earth? But he didn't. Instead, he goes and recruits 12 disciples. And he tells those 12 disciples to go recruit, you know, 12 other ones. And then eventually he tells us to recruit the whole world, to bring the whole of humanity into this. In fact, the whole of creation groans out for the majesty of God, it says in Scripture. And so Jesus even doesn't do it alone. When we miss out on corporate worship, when we miss out on time of praise together, we're telling everyone that our version is right. We're telling everyone that we don't need the other people. We don't need anyone because it's us and God. Whereas Jesus himself says, no, it's all of us and God. It's also not to live into your baptismal vows. When you were baptized or when you joined the church, as we're going to have some people join in a little bit, you said, I promise to support this community through my prayers, my presence, my gifts, my service, and my witness. And so when we're missing, we're not living up to those standards. We can't lie. I won't lie and say that going to a Dallas Cowboy game on Sunday morning isn't always more fun. I won't lie and say that fishing isn't sometimes more relaxing than getting the kids up for Sunday morning stuff. I won't say that those aren't the case, but those are restful. And while Sabbath is about rest, Sabbath is primarily about restoration. And nothing will restore you more than Sunday morning worship. I can't tell you the number of times I hear, you know, someone was sick and they missed worship, or someone decided to skip, and you see them on Wednesday and they just don't even know what day it is. It just throws off your entire schedule. It throws off your time with God. It throws off that healing presence of the Spirit in your life. Which brings me to number two, that a real man of Jesus, to restore himself, must not be afraid of emotions. This is something that a lot of guys have a problem with, and there's actually a book study right now of, that's going on, I think, on Monday nights of Tuesday nights of helping guys deal with their emotions, helping guys express to their kids the love they have for them. And it's a hard thing because we are supposed to be tough, like I mentioned. And we think God can give some, you know, we agree God can give some tough love too. You know, we look at God in Scripture, and God is not the cuddly friend that we always picture him to be. That God can be tough and strong, but if you're too tough for what we say in worship, if you're too strong for the language we're using, then I invite you to get up here and share with us. I invite you to get up and be tough and manly and get up here and spill your guts out. Because if you're too tough, but you're scared to get up here, or you're scared to go into a Sunday school class, or you're nervous about sharing your feelings with other guys, then how tough are you really? Are you afraid of a little thing called emotions or yourself? See, I think that one of the problem is when men start getting out of their individual zone, when they get out of that stronghold of manliness, when they really want to reach out to a community, they start discovering some things about themselves. They start discovering when they speak of love for their own kids, when that comes gushing out, some people didn't hear it enough from their father, and they missed out on that. Some people have fears of being an inadequate husband or father. And as they start struggling with the words to say, they close back into their shell because it's easier not to say anything than it is to sound ridiculous or foolish or inadequate. See, isn't that a lot of men's biggest fear anyway? Inadequacy? Failure? Does that sound familiar, guys? And yet we have a God. Guess what? We have a God who, when you feel like a failure, who, when you feel inadequate, when you don't feel strong enough, is strong enough for you. That he took on the pain. He took on the suffering. He took on the mission of the world. He came down into our lives to uplift us, in essence. He took away all our uncertainty, all our iniquity, all our sin, and said, you can do it. You are strong enough. And how many of us, when we're expressing love to our God, to our wife, to our kids, ask God to help us out with that? How many of us tap into that strength of a God who is so powerful he created the universe? How many of us tap into that God who is so powerful he conquered sin and death? And how many of us tap into a God who told us he loved us more than anybody else? Who told us with grace and mercy and all those words that we think are feminine, that are the strongest words you will ever hear? God isn't just looking to cuddle. He's looking to make a real man out of you. And worship is that intentional time that you must take to be shaped and to be formed. And essentially, it's only the starting place to kick off into Bible studies and small groups where you can be formed even more. But worship specifically is the time when you get to submit yourself to a strong, powerful, loving, merciful God. And it's important that you do so, because God is looking to make a man out of you.
Our scripture today comes from Acts 3, 1 through 10. And it's Peter heals the crippled beggar. One day, Peter and John were going up to the temple at an hour of prayer at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. A man lame from birth was carried in. People would lay him daily at the gate in the temple called the Beautiful Gate, so that he could ask for alms from those entering the temple. When he saw Peter and John about to go into the temple, he asked them for alms. Peter looked intently at him, as did John, and said, "Look at us." And he fixed his attention on them, expecting to receive something from them. But Peter said, "I have no silver or gold, but what I have to give you, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, is to stand up and walk." And he took the man by the right hand, raised him up, and immediately his feet and ankles were made strong. Jumping up, he stood and began to walk. As he entered the temple with them, walking and leaping and praising God, all the people with him recognized him and one who used to sit and asked him at the beautiful gate of the temple. They were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. I do love a worship service that claps for scripture. That's awesome. I just wanted to have this scripture verse as our focus today, and it seems like an odd scripture verse as we're talking about worship, but let me see if I can retell this to help it make a little sense, because as we're talking about our real man of Jesus, Peter, and another real man of Jesus, John, who were, you know, two of Jesus' disciples, two of the ones who he sent out to make disciples of the world, usually this text has a missional focus. It's talking about the people we can transform. It's talking about the reaching out and just what we have to give, that you're, when you're going to war, as you're not offering them a house, you're offering them Christ. You know, usually it has that kind of effect. But I think if we look at this scripture verse as well, we can emphasize again the importance of regular worship attendance, the regular worship. Because 3 o'clock, as they're going, 3 o'clock is the second main hour of prayer at this time in Judaism. They would go to the temple in the morning, usually around 9 a.m., and then they would go back to the temple at 3 p.m., and they would do their sacrifices, they would offer prayers, all these different things. And so Peter and John were essentially doing what they did every single day, like you do every single Sunday morning. They went at the same time, the same routine, you know, doing every time. But this time they meet a man who needs help, and who they essentially transform. But to make it a little more sense, I'd like to put you at the gates of Stonebridge United Methodist Church and retell this story from a McKinney angle. And forgive me if I read. There's a man who is beat down by his job, is trying his best to be a good father and husband, and is even involved in Rotary, the PTA, and coaches his son's soccer team. He's so overwhelmed with responsibility that he often feels depressed and burdened by life. He feels everyone is riding him to be a perfect man, never complain, get things done, be strong, and he's buckling under that pressure. So he waits on the outside of the church because he's heard that people will help him there. But he's too afraid to go inside, and frankly, he's a little too tired to hear another lame sermon. As people come in Sunday morning to their regularly scheduled worship service, many pass by, but Peter and John see this wearied man and take compassion on him. They've seen him here regularly and decide, finally, to help him. "Sir, what can we do to lift your spirits? What can we give you that will make you whole and ease your load? What would make your life better and give you more energy? To be honest with you guys, I just want to get away. I want to go do something mindless. Just sit on the couch and watch people talk about football. Or maybe I want to get away from the world, plug my iPod in, and just run until I stop. And sometimes I feel the golf course calling my name because I love to play golf. But who has the time anymore in the week? I'd value these things more than anything right now. Just some time for me in my busy week." Peter and John looked at each other. They couldn't really argue with him necessarily because they also liked these things. In fact, one of them had a tea time at 3 o'clock Sunday afternoon. The other had just finished a 3-mile run that morning. The ball game was TiVo'd, and they had people coming over to watch it with a grill full of wings ready to go. After a short glance, Peter said, "We have to admit, we love all those things. We have all those things. But right now, there's something much better we'd like to show you." "What could be better?" said the tired man. "Come inside with us. Come experience Jesus. Come experience Christ. Church is the last thing I need right now. Just another obligation, another thing to add to my schedule, especially on Sunday, the day I'm supposed to actually get to relax when my kids don't have ball games and people aren't griping at me to do stuff all week." "Yeah, right. Relax on Sunday? Because that's when I have to do the yard work. I have to clean the garage. Kids still have soccer practice on Sunday, amazingly. The last thing I need is church to take up another 2 hours of my life that I have something else to do." "But sir," said John, "we're not asking you to come to church. We're asking you to come experience the body of Christ. We're asking you to come meet a body of people who love each other, support each other, celebrate with each other, and cry with each other because they believe that God came in the person of Jesus Christ to do the same for them. Together with God, we tackle anything in our lives and know that God is with us inside or outside of this building. We promise you'll meet a God, at least in this worship service, who doesn't need you to be perfect to love you, and you really can't do anything to merit his forgiveness. He just gives it to you. If you'll take it. I've been where you are. I was looking for a break, someplace to rest my head and let the troubles go away. What I didn't realize is that I couldn't do it alone. They would never go away, no matter how hard I tried. The frustration, the schedules, they never went away. And then a man came and told me to follow him. And with him I found a place that supports me in my troubles, uplifts me in my joys, and blesses me with a message of hope. Good news challenges me to become more of myself than I have ever been under the pressures of this world. So come inside with us right now and take a seat. It's amazing what happens when a man is spoken to like that. Having never heard another man speak with such passion or conviction about church before, having never understood that it wasn't an obligation, having never understood that it could actually do something in somebody else's lives, the man got up and walked inside to the body of Christ, and everyone had seen him here for years and was amazed that the man had stepped inside and been transformed. For years he'd been told, pick yourself up by your own bootstraps. Why are you just sitting there? Get up, walk, do something for yourself. But in this scripture verse, two people walked by Stonebridge United Methodist Church and saw that man suffering and struggling. They saw him in depression. They saw him in things that men are not supposed to do. And they picked him up and they said, come inside and don't just experience church on Sunday morning, but put yourself in front of the railroad we call Jesus Christ and let yourself get hit by the train. Put yourself in full glory and full emotion in front of Jesus Christ during worship. Don't hold anything back. And even better, they said, sit by us. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this message from Stonebridge United Methodist Church. Feel free to join us at our bridge service, a relaxing and rejuvenating worship experience built around soulful music and worship of Jesus Christ, Sunday mornings at 10:45. For more information, visit our website, mysumc.org. Have a blessed day.